From the Land Grant University, Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 26th day of March 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Kurt Kimmel is traveling today. A bit later in the program, Todd Hubbs will be here to preview this week's Thursday, 11 a.m. USDA agricultural commodities reports that will come out of Washington, D.C. In specific, we'll take a look at the acreage numbers, and then as we wrap up our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with John Davis at Risk Pulse in Chicago. A heads up, John doesn't think farmers will get into the field in the Midwest, certainly not the northern part of the Midwest, anytime soon. He divides the month of April into three parts. The first part is a no-go. The second part is a no-go. The last 10 days is, well, at best, a maybe at this point. So we'll hear more about that as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for a Monday afternoon. It's the 26th day of March. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities is with us for the day. Hey, Pete, thanks so much for being with us.
It's always great to be here.
And so I want to talk a little bit about what's been happening in Washington, D.C. A lot of conflict last week, a whole lot of things coming out about trade. We had the steel and aluminum tariffs that went into place. China responded with 128 different things that they were going to put some tariffs on. Those included pork and ethanol. Nuts were among them as well. And then, of course, the Trump administration looking further down the line and saying within 60 days or so, we're going to put another $60 billion worth of tariffs on. And I think that was in part hopeful that they'd bring China to the trade table. And what I saw based maybe off of what's happening in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, they must have had some kind of reaction. Do things look better today than they did on Friday?
Well, and they've had a big wide range today, too, 400 points in that mini Dow index. So we're up 500 points right now at 24,122 after being low at 23,550. So that's 600 points off the low. And I don't know whether there's good things going to happen from all this or whether, like beans, we were up 10 plus early and then backed off, I think, just due to fear of worries about China with reprisals.
Yeah, so we have China, and it's a kind of a push and a pull. I know there was some news earlier on that China and the United States were talking and things were being productive, but that's pretty quickly after the news that came out of Washington last week. So I suppose really the thing that's on the minds of many, and we'll see what happens with Washington, D.C. over time, and it'll fluctuate. But right now, we're turning to the end of the week, and there is no trade on Friday because of Good Friday. However, Thursday, the United States Department of Agriculture will release both the grain stocks and the acreage numbers. What do we know about either one of those?
It's expected that soybean acres will be up a little and corn acres down a little, but there's all kinds of views of how much more beans and how few less corn. Private industry in general, I think, is probably oriented more beans than the USDA and less corn than USDA. But that has people worried about grain prices. If we would have 1.5 million or 2 million more beans and 1.5 million or 2 million less of corn, I don't know that we're going to get that far, but those are numbers that are bandied about out there by private industry.
There was a lot of action in the wheat pits today from Chicago and from Minneapolis at the Grain Exchange. I take it some of that is because of weather forecasts that are putting wetter conditions, especially in the hard red winter wheat area. I would think in the spring wheat they might be concerned about that a bit at this point, but you tell me.
Well, I've talked to people out in Kansas and Nebraska and Texas and Oklahoma today, and they said there were places that got rain, but it didn't go very far west. So, I mean, we had wheat down to over 10 at one time, and that helped pull corn down. But at the end of the day, we weren't down near that on the wheat. But again, is it going to rain? How much is it going to rain? Kansas City wheat at the end of the day actually higher, not higher, they were still down 10 and a half, but they moved back and forth all over the place, where Chicago wheat down 5 to 6, and worries about, will we get rain and how much?
Any best advice for a producer right now for old or new crop corn and what they ought to do with it?
Well, we're still thinking that old crop and new crop corn both has good usage. We've got lots of it around, but we also are worried about less acres. And if we continue really good usage, less acres can mean that carryout number gets smaller really quickly. So I would be looking to make some sales as we go up on the new crop corn, if we get up over 4 very far, to protect it.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today, Pete.
Have a great one.
You too. Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, we'll start with dicamba today. The head of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says he's hopeful new oversight put in place regarding dicamba herbicides will keep it in the farmer's toolbox. Last October, as several states were investigating spray drift complaints, the EPA decided to classify dicamba as a restricted-use pesticide. EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt says the future of dicamba now looks encouraging.
You know, I'm encouraged. I mean, I'm encouraged because last year when this issue came up, as you know, Arkansas, Missouri, other states were experiencing some challenges, and states took a different approach in some instances. And some of it was drift, some of it was application, some of it may have been training. So what I told our team last year, it was a 2-year, as you know, initial grant on, I think it was dicamba 2.0, if you will, that had come out, and it was being used for the first time. There was some indication that maybe the old dicamba was being used. So what I did is told our team, let's get out into the marketplace with the states. Let's try to send, you know, some constructive ideas.
Pruitt says the approach by the EPA will allow for a better consideration of dicamba oversight and use after this season.
As we approach the decision point in November of this year, we'll have better data, better information on whether these things have been fixed. So I'm encouraged. I mean, I actually spent time with about 4 farm bureaus in D.C. recently, Alabama, Iowa, Ohio, and I can't remember the other right now, but 4 states that came together, and we talked about this dicamba issue. So I think we're on the track to get good data in, evaluate it, and I'm encouraged with what we're seeing.
Pruitt says the new oversight is what he calls a workable solution. So from U.S. EPA in Washington, D.C., let's turn our attention to trade. A leading ag economist right here in the Midwest says the tariffs by the Trump administration on steel and aluminum imports put U.S. agriculture in harm's way. Purdue University agricultural economist Chris Hurt says U.S. agriculture is a natural target for China.
Well, obviously, China would very quickly look at agriculture. Why? Because they buy a lot of agricultural products from us. I've just been checking some of that data. Last year in 2017, China and Hong Kong, we put those together since there are many shipments that go into Hong Kong that are then shipped on into mainland China. $28.5 billion of agricultural products they bought from us.
China is threatening a 25% tariff on U.S. pork.
My first guess is to say that the pork market has way over-responded. Now, when you're looking at agriculture, it's pretty important to recognize that while we sold them $28.5 billion of ag goods, soybeans are just by far the big thing in that package.
Soybeans represent roughly $12.5 billion of the $28 billion of U.S. ag products exported to China.
And I think what they're probably saying is that is the really big issue that we want to avoid the United States thinking we're going to go after soybeans. And I guess my bottom line is I think they're saying we want to negotiate. And again, the Trump administration, kind of a style to make bold statements to shock the world, then to get people to come to the table to talk. We've had disagreements on trade, major disagreements with China for decades, and not in many cases made a lot of progress on that. And I think what we're going to see is come to the table, let's talk about it, and this time, China, we want some real negotiation and some changes on the way you handle trade.
You can read more from Purdue Agricultural Economist on the Purdue Ag websites or at Farm Doc Daily once a month, where he posts an article on the livestock sector. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist and commodity market specialist, now joins us on Thursday of this week. The United States Department of Agriculture will release a couple of reports. The Acreage Report, which is a survey of producers, is among them. That comes out at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time. You've taken a look and thought about what this report might show. What did you come up with?
I think there's a general consensus out there that we might be seeing less corn acres than last year and more soybean acreage. The USDA in their Ag Outlook Forum in February projected 90 million acres of each, but you know, when you look at the trade surveys, you know, soybean acreage looks to be much higher than that, and corn acreage somewhere below 90 million acres. When you think about spring planted crops, you start thinking about total principal acres of crops that USDA tracks. Those numbers have been pretty much flat over the last 3 years. But in that time frame, corn and soybean acreage combined has continued to expand. And I don't see any reason why that doesn't continue this year, maybe just slightly. I think what we're going to see, and my projections have been soybean acreage of about 91.3 million acres and corn acreage at about 89.5 million acres. The trade range is quite large. We've seen corn anywhere from 88 to 90 million acres and soybean acreage anywhere from 90 to 93 million acres. I think when we're thinking about what kind of price reaction we might see from the prospective planting report, if we see a corn acreage below 89 million and a soybean acreage above 92 million, I think we might see some price reactions associated with those kind of acreage numbers.
So you mentioned the total number of acres for the spring crop is around, I think, 319 million or thereabouts, and has been roughly for the last 3 years. If you add CRP into that, then it runs, I don't know, 345 to 349, 350.
Yeah, somewhere like that.
Yeah, so is there anything in the mix of the spring acreage that can change things? So what do you consider is the question? Cotton acres, the hard red winter wheat acres, which have been tough, the cold wet spring for the spring planted stuff in
the
Northwest?
Really, the prospective planting report's just the start of what we could see in spring acreage. As we move through the early part of spring, weather, particularly, you know, it's been wet and cold here in Illinois and in large parts of the Corn Belt. Northern Plains, they still have got snow cover hanging around. The NOAA's forecast a moderate chance for flooding along many of the rivers in the Corn Belt in the central United States. The idea that we could see prevent planting be slightly higher. Right now, and the price relationship between the crops matter too. Right now, we're what looks like an expansion in cotton acreage, an expansion in rice acreage, an expansion in sorghum acreage. Those are look to happen this year. Wheat acreage basically flat, with maybe a little bit more spring wheat acreage in the mix. But that's really going to come down to what it looks like weather-wise through early April and into May. You know, if we continue with this wet and cold, we could see some acreage shifts go on as we move through the spring. But as of right now, and looking at the prospective plans report, I think the idea that greater than last year's soybean acreage, which was 90.1, less than last year's corn acreage, which was 90.2, increases in cotton, increases in rice, increases in sorghum, flat wheat, basically, to last year with maybe a little jump in spring wheat acreage. That's how I see it playing out. The magnitudes are where the money's at, though, and any large soybean acreage estimate is going to be bearish to soybean prices in the short run, especially anything above 92, 92.5. And that very feasibly could happen based on what we've seen with soybean prices recently relative to the corn in particular.
Have we ever in this country planted more soybean acres than corn?
Twice. We've done it twice. 1983 was the last time we did it, and before that, 1960.
So, I don't remember 60, but 83 was the whole farm set-aside.
Set-asides, right? That's right. And so we've only done it twice since 1960, so this would be the third time, and this would be probably the first time outside of the traditional old farm bill programs to cause this kind of shift. It's just basically price. So I expect that to occur. I think most of the market expects it to occur. It's hard to say, you know, what kind of acreage is when we look at soybean prices. We've seen, you know, some volatility recently. I think a lot of that surrounded Argentinian production. We sort of moved on from that. They've got a bad crop. And then the trade issues that we've seen pop up. I think if we see soybean acreage 91, 91.5, there won't be much of a market reaction in price of the soybeans, I don't believe. But anything above 92, I think we could see something there. I think the market thinks corn acreage is going to be slightly lower. So, you know, anything below 89, I think you might see some kind of reaction there. But anything close into the 89 to 90 range in corn, 90.5 to 91.5 in soybeans, I don't expect a lot of movement out of the report. That's what I think. But as we move forward in the year, if we continue with this wet spring, we have flooding issues, we have a larger prevent plant. The problems with the winter wheat acreage down south, they've had some moisture recently, but the crop progress reports have not been good. We could see some abandonment and some acreage shifts, particularly in the corn and soybeans in some of those areas, or sorghum and soybeans in some of those areas. So as we move through April, you know, monitoring the weather, the price relationships, and the planting progress is going to be important in thinking about what that final acreage number will be in June.
Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
That, of course, is Todd Hubbs. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. Amy Sage is here. She's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I don't know that there's a lot to talk about in today's trade. Maybe you can give me more insight there or look forward into the USDA reports on Thursday.
Sure. Yep, you're right. Not a lot of excitement today. Just a little bit of weakness in the market on the close today. So nothing terribly exciting happening. We did see our nearby corn basis improve a couple cents this afternoon. So that's a positive thing to talk about. Other than that, everything's pretty much stayed the same. We're just seeing anticipation over the major report on Thursday, obviously. We saw the average trade guesses out this afternoon, 89.4 million acres of corn and 91.1 essentially acres of soybeans is what the average trade guesses are. So nothing really shocking compared to what we've been talking about all along. So, but that obviously is going to be a major indicator on what we're going to do for the foreseeable future then until we start to trade some weather after Thursday's report. It is on Thursday this year because the market is closed Friday for Good Friday. So then it will be followed by a 3-day weekend. So there's some cautious trades being made right now, but nothing terribly exciting today.
Why did your basis for corn improve 2 cents?
Well, really, we just had an opportunity with rail values that was a little bit firmer of a rail market today. So SIF's pretty quiet, but here where we're at, it did firm up a little bit. Probably just not a lot of activity going on now that we've kind of the market stalled out a little bit. So we just saw a little bit of improvement. It's getting to be that time of year, too. It seems like movement slows a little bit as guys get in the field. So not terribly shocking, but again, nice to see a little bit of improvement there.
Well, I don't think they're going to get in the field real soon, so maybe.
No!
Hey, what are your bids for the day?
You bet. We're 357 going home on cash corn. $3.77 across the scale for next fall, $10 on the money for cash beans today, and $9.95 across the scale.
Hey, thanks so much, Amy. That, of course, is Amy Sage. She is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium for this Monday afternoon. 1 week from today, we'll be at the Illinois Farm Bureau building. That's the University of Illinois Extension building as well, out on Country Fair Drive here in Champaign for our April 2nd event. It's our last Outlook meeting. It'll be post-USDA report. Starts 6:30. So if you want to come out to that one, please do so. Gary Schnitke will be there along with Todd Hubbs. And we'll take a look at the grain markets, too. That's next Monday evening at the Farm Bureau building right here in Champaign County. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. John Davis is now here at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois, to take a look at the weather forecast. Much to talk about in the United States, but we'd better check in on the Argentina crop first. Tell me about it, please.
The same old story. They have been dry. They remain dry through month's end into early April. So the same basic situation continues with, you know, the crops being stressed across Argentina.
Here in the United States, it's been cold and wet. Will it remain that way?
It will. And so we're going to have a respite here this week. So we're going to have kind of 3 or 4 days where we're quite a bit warmer. And that's really from now through the end of the week. But that's kind of a head fake, you know, at this time of year in March. And as soon as we get into the holiday weekend, we go cold again. And that cold looks like it's going to remain in place through the first couple of weeks of April. So as we go into the first half of April, it's cold. It's wet. We're not done with the snows across the northern Midwest. The northern plains gets into a lot more snow. So this is not a pattern that is conducive for fieldwork preparation and any kind of early planting.
In the northwestern corn belt, there are early spring crops, barley and wheat, that they'd like to put in. They'll need to do that soon. What are the chances?
Well, there's a lot of snow. So they have a record amount of snow up across Minnesota, the Dakotas, and Montana. And it looks like they'll be getting more snow over the next week or 10 days as a couple of systems go through. That, along with the fact that you're going to be unseasonably cold up across those areas, there's going to be areas of the northern plains that have lows in the single digits over the upcoming holiday weekend and on into next week. So they are very cold and quite active.
How soon do you think here in the Midwest farmers would be able to go? Anytime, I suppose, in the next 2 weeks?
Well, certainly for the first 2 weeks of April, it does not look good. It's way too wet. It's way too cold. There's too much snow in the northern areas. Now, so that puts a lot of emphasis on getting a break in the wetness and seeing temperatures warm, which would raise soil temperatures, in the back half of April. So the way that we think about it is April in thirds. First third and middle third, we don't see any break. The next real opportunity would be that final third of April, the final 10 days, you know, to get some warmer conditions in, to get some breaks in the action and be able to dry fields out. But at least for the early to middle portion of April, we do not see a good pattern at all for fieldwork operations.
Further to the south, Arkansas, Louisiana, parts of Tennessee, that Delta region, they should be planting at this point, though I think they've been awfully wet.
They have been wet. They're going to get even wetter over the next couple of weeks, and certainly the potential for flooding across those areas is a real concern as we go into the first couple of weeks of April. So they're not as cool as the Midwest, but they have heavy rain potential across that region. One of the reasons behind that is that water temperatures in the Gulf of Mexico are extremely high levels. So a lot of that moisture in the Gulf of Mexico is being, through evaporation, is being dragged up into the Delta and the southern Midwest.
Thanks so much. We'll talk with you folks again next Monday.
Oh, my pleasure, Todd.
That is John Davis. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Joins us on this closing market report for a Monday afternoon. You have a good day. I'm Todd Gleason.